We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But buddy, welcome to the Morning Roll, Sarah 95.7 The Game, out in the Bay Area, Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky the Butcher, and we wanted to get you on
What's up?
We've been in this Bay Area bubble looking at Shanahan for 6 years, and we're looking at this offense, and it just looks stale. It looks predictable. And you had a tweet the other day, which we really wanted to get into, and just kind of get your perspective on what Shanahan has been doing with the 49ers. And you just said the offense just feels weird. It looks weird. Can you expand on that? What's your thoughts on the 49ers offense so far in 2022?
Well, what I said specifically that was weird to me is I don't understand what Kyle Shanahan is into when it comes to quarterbacks. The man who passed up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and to be fair, passed up on Trubisky too to draft Solomon Thomas, eventually becomes the man who drafts Trey Lance, and then, as he did with Robert Griffin, just because you can run don't mean you're a running back,
right?
And so, like, I find him confusing on that level. With regard to the offense, I think the thing that's probably happened as much as anything else is what happens to just about anybody who blows the world away with their offense at first. Everybody else starts running it, and also everybody else has a lot more time to pay attention to what it is, and they start figuring out ways to get around it. Now, to me, and I could be wrong here, I don't know if there's something wrong with the offense as much as your quarterback just isn't good. And I know that people have a bit of an emotional attachment to Jimmy Garoppolo that I find to be peculiar, but he just ain't it, and he hasn't been it, and every sign that the world gives us that he's not it, you got people that jump up and try to be like, oh, no, but Jimmy's a winner. That's not how things work, man. Like, the dude who closes his eyes and throws an interception in the Super Bowl, that ain't what winners do. The dude that runs out the back of the end zone, that's not what winners do. And so I have just found a lot of his decisions, less as coach than personnel man, to be absolutely, like, maddening and confusing. Like, I think he's put together an incredible roster and has done a great job with that. And I do think he's got an offense that, by and large, has a very high floor, but this team ain't going to get it done with the backup quarterback, but can you blame a head coach for not being able to get it done with the backup quarterback, even if the backup was a starter before?
That's a great question. I mean, you're kind of preaching to the choir on the Jimmy G thing. Me and B have been screaming to the high heavens for multiple years now. But what about this defense? Like, I know, look, the quarterback play is bad right now, and maybe he bounces back this week. They're 7-1 after a loss when Jimmy and Kyle are together. So maybe they bounce back this year. But I'm looking at the defense. I feel like they have a top tier defense. Can they still get into the playoffs with this kind of a defense when you look around the NFC?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that they can. For one, that's not a very strong division that they're in, right? Like, the Seahawks are, okay. The Cardinals, okay. The Rams, let's see how this goes with Stafford, as we were coming into the season worried about his elbow. That ain't going to get better as the season goes on. So, yeah, I think they can still make the playoffs, especially in a world now where seven teams in each conference wind up making the playoffs. But is this a team that can win a Super Bowl? No. No, I have no reservations about saying that ain't something they can do.
You know, Bomani Jones, ESPN, here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 again. I want to get back to Shanahan for a second, because you mentioned all those quarterbacks he passed up, and I've been basically the only one, like, it feels weird out here, Bomani, because people are really hesitant to really criticize Shanahan because of his offensive philosophy and the play calling or whatnot. They've called him a genius. And I'm like, well, let's pump the brakes here. This is the land of Bill Walsh, all right? We've seen Bill Walsh. We've seen Mike Holmgren. Heck, Mike Shanahan was a great offensive play caller for the 49ers. But with all the quarterbacks that he's passed up on, and even Tom Brady, and then missing out on Matthew Stafford, and then saying, you know what, I'm going to go up and move up in the draft and go select Trey Lance, and then I'm going to use Trey Lance like a fullback. How much leash should Kyle Shanahan be getting? Because this is year 6 of the Shanahan movement, and we still don't know what quarterback he wants.
While I think that's a fair point, I also think you guys are being kind of greedy here. It's been year 6, and you've been to 2 NFC championship games. You've been to 1 Super Bowl, and even with the eyes closed interception, almost managed to win that one. Like, I am intrigued by the idea that in the Bay, the question is, I don't know if this guy is the guy. You ain't going to go out there and get a much better coach than Shanahan. But what he's not is a genius beyond criticism. And so what I thought was so interesting when they traded up to get that pick last year, and look, the trade was bad. There's no way around that. And the reason I say that the trade is bad and there's no way around it is if you give up that much for a guy, no matter who the guy is, he's supposed to be able to start day one. And it's not supposed to be somebody that you get into year two and you're like, yeah, we're not sure about that. Like, if you're that sure about a guy and give up all of that, like, Robert Griffin was way more ready to play off the rip than Trey Lance was. And as I recall, they gave up more to get Trey Lance than they gave up to get Robert Griffin. Like, that trade was not a good one, even if it turns out that Trey Lance is a franchise quarterback down the line. They had a win-now roster, and they made a win-later move, and we don't know if they're ultimately going to win later. Like, there's room to criticize Shanahan, but I think that given that he's gotten that genius tag for so long, that people then go all the way in the other direction and start thinking that the guy's a bum, and that I don't think.
Yeah, it's somewhere in between. I think he's really good, and I think there's some time management stuff. I think his early on success reminds me a lot of Andy Reid, where it's going to take time to iron out some of the game situations. There's certain fourth and ones and twos and situations and spots on the field where he's punting, and that, I think that comes with a lot of time. I want your impression of the narrative nationally when it comes to Trey Lance, because it feels so unfair. I get the win now thing. I truly do. We've seen 5 years of Jimmy G, right. And I think he's mediocre. You
he
know,
is who he is.
He's an average player. I'm not trying to rip him. He's a B-minus on a great day. You know, we couldn't even go five quarters of Trey Lance without everyone coming over the top rope from the high heavens to crush this kid. And I just think it's so unfair.
Yeah, but I mean, We've all been living in this world for a while now, right? There's a reason why Baltimore keeps black backup quarterbacks behind Lamar Jackson. It calms the locals down. This is a thing, and it's been a thing in the league for a very, very long time. You can't discount that when you start trying to get an understanding of what it is and why it is that people are just immediately coming down on the dude. Like, normally people are so excited about a young quarterback that they talk themselves into it. Yeah. That is not what I've seen happen with Trey Lance, because I find it to be strange for two reasons. One, his talent is undeniable, right? Number two, and I guess you guys probably have more familiarity with this being around, but I remember the first time I saw an interview with that dude, and I was like, oh, look at that maturity. Like, I'm in my 40s now.
Bomani.
In their 20s in that way.
His number one attribute when me and Bonte have been around, intelligence. And yet, no one has talked about how just the brain and the maturity, the emotional maturity of the kid and the smarts and the IQ. And yet, a mobile quarterback. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, like, I think I'm in on the optimism around Trey Lance, right? Like, I see why they did that. I thought it was so funny. And this, to me, was when I realized that everybody was just so over the top and never questioning Kyle Shanahan, is when Chris Sims, who, by the way, has Kyle Shanahan's initials tattooed on him.
Yeah.
It's odd.
When Chris Sims said, hey, if he's making this trade, I think it's to get Mac Jones. The entire NFL press corps talked themselves into the idea of Mac Jones as number three pick, when not a soul ever thought that dude was the number three pick. But that was how far people were willing to go to talk themselves into the genius of Kyle Shanahan, because they believed that Kyle Shanahan was doing it, then it must have been the right thing. No, you make that move as they did, it's to get a guy with the ceiling that you have with someone like Trey Lance. Now, to be fair to fans, if you think you got a win now roster and you think this guy is a win later player, then yeah, maybe you're saying go get Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm just here to tell you, nobody's trading all those assets if they think the guy they have is good. And it's interesting that the time that people want to start questioning the genius of Kyle Shanahan is when he made what was most obviously the decision that had to be made, which is, we got to go get a different quarterback.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Bomani Jones on the morning roster on 95.7 The Game. And here we are, because Shanahan has told us ever since, heck, the week of Super Bowl 54, Bomani, he was talking about Kirk Cousins, how his master players listen to cooking. Trust me, it drives us crazy. We're happy that's happened out here. No doubt. But he's tried to dump Jimmy Garoppolo for 3 years. Now, this entire offseason, he gets the surgery, Jimmy Garoppolo, that is, and you can't trade him, you can't move him because nobody wants him, and he's back in this locker room. What did you think about some of the players and coaches talking to Michael Silver of the SF Chronicle after the Seahawks game, saying, you know, we think Jimmy gives us a better chance to win, and then they go out there on Sunday Night Football and score 10 points and look decrepit offensively?
Well, yeah, they think that Garoppolo gives them a better chance to win because they've won with Jimmy Garoppolo. right? There's a matter of familiarity, and also, I don't want to say superstitious because I think that feels dismissive, but football players tend to ride with correlation. Like, correlation versus causation is not something that football players necessarily get. And so you've got the quarterback. He's the leader. They're indoctrinated in this idea that the quarterback is the straw that stirs the drink. And so, yeah, they feel like they would have a better chance to win with Jimmy Garoppolo, or at least they would say that after that one game. Let's see how they sound after a month, right? Maybe Jimmy picks it up. Maybe Kyle Shanahan figures something out with the offense, you know, to flip these things up a little bit and then go from there. I'm not sure, but I have an impossible time believing that these guys, actual football players, look at Jimmy and be like, oh, yeah, that dude's dope. They can't. Like, if they were playing against Jimmy, I can't imagine how excited they would be. The dude closed his eyes in the Super Bowl and threw an interception. I know I've said that like three times in the course of this, but how is that not the craziest thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, well, because the craziest thing I ever saw was him stepping out of bounds from the one.
And then throwing the pick six ball behind him. He tried to throw a pick six.
It was the best of the three things that happened on that play. Trent Williams is out for the year. He threw a pick six.
4 to 6
and
weeks.
And the safety was, Bonte's calling it a pick eight.
I'm calling it a pick eight, Bomani. I've never seen anything like it. And this is a 9-year veteran quarterback, and players a week ago, and certain media members around here were still all crazy. Jimmy gives it the best chance. Offense looked better. Like, how? We've seen Trey Lance for five quarters.
Let me ask this question, okay? In that final drive against the Rams in the NFC Championship game, did you think they had any chance to win?
Okay, absolutely. We're at SoFi, the two of us. My dad is sitting next to me, biggest Niner fans of all time. We're both in Joe Montana jerseys. Right. And I go, Dad, this is his moment. I'm trying to be optimistic. My dad goes, it's Jimmy G, and started packing up his bag before the drive ended. The game gets over. Donald, you know, rips Jimmy G to the ground. He throws a game-losing pick. I look over. My dad's got his entire bag ready to go. He goes, let's go. I told you it was going to happen.
Bomani, let me tell you something. The third play of the game for the Niners offense. Jimmy missed George Kittle wide open, and we said, oh, we've got bad Jimmy today. And then if you go back to the broadcast, Troy Aikman, when the game was tied at 17, he's on the broadcast for Fox. Troy Aikman says, you know, the Rams have done a good job of shutting down the running game, and I'm afraid it's going to come down to Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Troy, I was like, wow. You know, when you watch the broadcast, so no, Bo, we had no faith whatsoever in number 10 leading us down the field and go to the Super Bowl.
Well, what I find strange, at least in terms of the way that Jimmy is received off of those things, is, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, he be looking like he don't care when that stuff happens, right?
Well,
they're like, oh, ho, hum.
But
right?
Do you blame him, Bomani? Do you blame him? The quarterbacks tried to dump him multiple times.
Coach.
And now he's back to coach.
Yeah.
And now he's back, and it's like, wait, now you need me? So Jimmy's kind of in this FU mode where he's like, I'm out here playing, trying to get a new contract. Y'all had me on the side field, on the little kiddie field, throwing to some water boys while Trey Lance is running with the playbook. I kind of don't blame Jimmy. Even though he's a mid quarterback, he's very mediocre. I don't blame him, Bo.
Yeah, but he looked like that after he threw that pick in the NFC Championship game, too. Like, one thing I feel like you ain't got to worry about, and this isn't the worst thing in the world necessarily, but it is of note. That ain't no dude that's going to be breaking the iPad.
No.
After things go badly, right? And maybe there's something to the idea of you have a guy that stays composed in bad moments, and that's what you want, right? Yeah. I think that there's something to be said for that in having that guy.
Yeah.
Got you. But, man, he just isn't it. And I don't know why people are so insistent upon trying to talk themselves into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take it another level. I can't believe Bill Belichick was so certain that this guy could be the one to say, I see why Tom Brady was furious.
Hey, Bomani, before you get on out of here, you know, this is the Bay Area, and there's, you know, Joe Montana, Barry Bonds, Steph Curry, or some
semblance,
Jerry Rice, Ricky Henderson. There are certain people that are at the top of the mountain looking down at everyone else, and Steph Curry's one of those guys. I mean, godlike figure. He wins his fourth championship. It's just an incredible season. Last year, and B, everybody knows in the Bay Area, you've said some things about Steph Curry over the years. Where are you at on Steph Curry now, out of curiosity?
I mean, basically, any measure of skepticism that I have had about Steph Curry at various points, he's just wiped his ass with every single one of them and put it right in my face. Like, hey, smell that, right? Like, that's what it was last year. And so, you know, I think you guys are a little delicate up there when it comes to Steph, to be perfectly honest.
Our fan base is wild, man. Trust me, I do the pre- and post-game show for the Warriors, and our fan base is different, and I love them. They're passionate. They are passionate. Yeah. You better not come at Steph.
Well, they're passionate, and you guys have a disproportionate number of fans who, I mean, I don't know how much basketball they watch as much as they love Steph, right? Like, that happens. And Steph is that guy. And he's the sort of dude where, like, because he seems so, I guess, cherubic is the word that you would use, like almost childlike when he was younger,
right.
People pop up to defend him because why would you ever pick on Steph Curry? Right?
Yeah, he's too perfect.
Something critical. It's like, why in the world would you pick on Steph Curry? I'll tell you this. I think it was game 4 against the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those games in Boston, and it was early, and he did something, and he did one of those flexes, and I was like, I've never seen it come out of him like that. Like, the, hey, guys, jump on my back, boys, and we gonna get this done because I have to get this done, was something that I hadn't seen. Not to say, of course, that he couldn't carry the team before, but it's a little different when you walk in the building and you're like, hey, if I don't get this done, we don't have any chance. It's not just a matter of, hey, am I making shots today or not? No, he did that, and I was like, oh, buddy. I ain't got really nothing bad to say. And I don't even think the things I had to say about him were necessarily as bad as a lot of people thought they were.
No.
But he's all time. I mean, what he did to close out last year is one of those, I have nothing left to do or to say to you guys.
Right.
And where this will get fun to me, if the Warriors win a championship this year, and I think their roster is, basically, they have too many good players.
Right.
And I know that sounds strange, but basketball team can really only play 8 dudes. They got like 9 or 10. Somebody kind of needs to go in order to really make this happen, unless you want Kuminga over there on the bench folding his arms, looking salty all year.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, where is it that he plays? Like, where is Moses Moody supposed to play? When is Wiseman supposed to play? All those questions. But if Steph wins a championship this year and somebody says he had a better career than LeBron James, what's your argument against it?
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I'm not sure I have the answer to that definitively, but I'm saying, if I'm talking strictly in fairness, if it is 5-time NBA champion Steph Curry, who was responsible and the centerpiece of the best dynastic sort of run of basketball that I think we've seen post Michael Jordan, if that happens, what can you say about the dude that, like, how can you say somebody else is the player of his era? That becomes a fascinating question that has to be answered. But no, man, he's that dude, period.
Like,
I still got some questions about the other dudes on the team.
Right.
Like, yeah, I think Klay Thompson's on one leg, and I think Draymond is old and might be donezo. But Steph? Nah, man, you've done it. I don't even want to talk about that dude no more because I feel like I'm just gonna make. Like, I feel like I actually should just get out here and say something critical about Steph so that he can come out and average 40 points a game.
No, Steph is incredible, and Warrior fans do ride for number 30, no doubt about that. Especially this franchise, Dad. I'm sure, Bomani, when you were growing up, you're like, the Warriors, where they play? Nobody knew about the Golden State Warriors. This franchise was terrible. They were awful.
They were in between. They'd either be really fun or really bad.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
it's true.
No in between. Really fun or really bad, or, you know, sometimes you got to yoke your coach up by the neck.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do it. Let me ask you real quick before you get out of here. Now, we do appreciate the time.
Yeah,
Bomani Jones,
great.
ESPN, of course, HBO as well. Kevin Durant. There was rumors about Kevin Durant, whether or not the Warriors would go down that path again with Kevin Durant. What's your overall perspective of what Kevin Durant's about to go through with the Brooklyn Nets alongside Kyrie Irving and that entire organization?
Man, I have no idea what's going to happen with the Nets this year. One, how much Ben Simmons are we going to get is the real question.
Great question.
And I don't have an answer for that, because I think even with him now talking a little bit more, the circumstances surrounding his last 12 months, I really still feel like are a bit murky. And so I don't know what all went into last year and why he did not play and all of those things. So I don't know. And because I don't know what those things were, I don't know where he's going to be this year, because I don't know exactly what it takes to overcome where he was last year. And all of us around the NBA, we hear things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I heard was encouraging. Like, I'm at the point where I will believe that Ben Simmons is going to play basketball when I see him play basketball. With Durant, he made a gross miscalculation of what his leverage with the Nets truly was. And he thought, and understandably, because normally when the superstar wants to go, the superstar goes. James Harden had a lot of time on his deal when he decided that he wanted to go. And Durant thought that he wanted to go. The issue is, all that dude really wants to do is play basketball. And it doesn't work that way when you're at the top of the food chain and your success depends on Kyrie Irving. And none of us know what the reason is that Kyrie is not going to play this year. I just feel confident that it's going to be a reason.
You think Kevin Durant's regretting leaving the Warriors? How salty was he watching those finals, watching Steph Curry win his fourth ring without Kevin, without himself on the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, I think he might have been salty about it, but the truth is it was time for him to go. It was time for him to go for the Warriors' sake. It was time for him to go for his own sake. And I think the part in this that we have to keep in mind for him is, and I get this with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant won the MVP in 2014, and he was unequivocally the best player in the NBA in 2014. This wasn't one of those where there was voter fatigue and they were just tired of giving the MVP to LeBron. He outplayed LeBron that season. I don't think, and you go back and look at the numbers and look at everything else, I don't think there's any way around that. So he's in Oklahoma City, gets hurt the next year, and in 2016 he plays very well, but that's the year LeBron goes superhuman in the finals, right? Kevin Durant thought, I can go to Golden State where I will be the best player, and he was the best player, and we will win a championship, and finally the world will have to say, I am the best player in the world. He won a championship hitting a shot in LeBron's eye, and he was the best player on one of the best teams that we have ever seen. But because LeBron went superhuman in 2016, not one of us ever said Kevin Durant was the best player in the NBA. And the way it normally goes is you win the championship, you're the best player, you hit a shot like that, you are that guy. And we never gave him that. And so then he looks around at Golden State and he's like, not only am I the best player in the NBA and nobody wants to acknowledge it, I can't even be the man on my own team because of what Steph is. And that's not a knock to Steph, but he moved something different to that city. Johnny Bench and Pete Rose went through the same thing with the Cincinnati Reds in the 1970s, where Johnny Bench was a bigger national star, Pete Rose was a bigger local star, and they each resented each other for it. Not to say that these guys resented each other, but you get my point.
Yep.
So for him, staying in Golden State was never going to give him what it was that he was looking for. And I think that he was a dude that was looking for a situation that would ultimately make him happy. And playing for the Warriors didn't make him happy. The mistake was not leaving Golden State. The mistake is hitching your wagon to somebody as unreliable as Kyrie Irving. He ain't going to carry you to nothing other than heartache.
Hey, with that said, we're going to let you go, Bomani. Great, great stuff. We appreciate it. Best of luck on your HBO show, The Game Theory, The Right Time podcast. We've been listening for years on ESPN. Keep doing your thing, Bo. Thanks for the time today.